It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're so glad that you're here. It's good to be back. Most of you know we didn't go all the way to Oklahoma like we had originally planned, just made it the first 200 miles to Waynesville. But I'm glad, you know, the Lord sort of said, don't go to Oklahoma. I got a text yesterday from a man that I would have spent a number of hours with on the way out. And he's got COVID. So, you know, he would have probably had it and been contagious, but not know it whenever we would have stopped by to see him. So the Lord knew that, and we stayed here. So I heard y'all had a good service. I listened to it on the website later in the week. And I'm going to check and see if Leonard knows my name here in a minute. But let me, before I pray, put in a plug for Wednesday night. I'm going to start a series on prayer. And I pray that you'll come, that you'll take notes. There may be some things that you've never heard about prayer or some things that will be new to you. It may take 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks to do everything that I've got outlined. It's a matter of, you know, I've got these outlines and whether I extend them, you know, and what I've got for one night might take two nights, or what I've got for three nights might not take but one. So I don't know just how long it'll take. But I hope that you'll come and spend some time learning more about how to pray. And so we just invite you to come. There's a core group that comes regularly. There's others of you that come some of the time. And some of you have not been. We welcome you all. Let's pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. It's good to worship you and to seek your face. We thank you for the opportunity to worship, to sing, to pray, to study your word. We thank you for the opportunity to give and to share the resources that you've first shared with us. Now, Father, we know that the Holy Spirit is here. We want you to know that he's welcome. We pray that we'll have ears to hear and eyes to understand, minds to understand, hearts to know. And Lord, may we do that which will be pleasing to you. Lord, this is your service, your hour. Bring glory to yourself, and we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. You know, there's no way that I'll ever be a perfect individual, and I prove it every Sunday, so that's all I can tell you. But anyway, let's sing a hymn this morning. This hymn that we're about to sing is, I guess, one of the most loved hymns that the Gaithers ever written, and this would be it, Because He Lives. And 407 is a page number. It'll be on the board for you. Let's all stand and sing all three verses of Because He Lives.
Face tomorrow, be
Someone this morning, if you would. Well, good morning again. I have some announcements for you this morning. First thing I want to do is thank everybody that helped in Bible school, and I think we had a very successful Bible school. And Aaron, thank you for all your work you did. There you are. And I know you had a team there. And but you have anything you want to add to everybody worked so hard, and I'm just so thankful for.
I just appreciate everybody that helped out. I think we had a good piece to turn out for Saturday.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Very good. Very good. All right. All right. Let's look at the announcements that we have for you this morning. The first thing I want to remind the choir is choir practice tonight at 6, and we're going to be working tonight on homecoming. So try your best to be here. And those of you that haven't made it yet or are going to make it, please come. And let's try our very best to put together homecoming. We're going to be singing probably out of the Blue Book tonight and some of the old songs for homecoming. And Brenda is coming back tonight to play with us tonight, to play for us tonight. And I thank God for that Brenda will be here tonight to help us too. Okay, so, and then again, we'll remind you again about Wednesday night. The pastor's already said he's planned a new series for us on prayer, and I'm looking forward to it, Pastor. So everybody be here Wednesday night and be here for that. And then August the 15th, we'll be homecoming here, and we'll have our homecoming services. They'll start, we're going to have the same starting time, 9 o'clock for Sunday school, 10 o'clock will be for our worship hour, and then we'll about somewhere around 11:15, 11:30, we'll be downstairs for a covered dish meal. And I want to tell you, and I know there's some concerns, but let's be sure we're going to do this in a safe way. We'll have some hand sanitizers. We'll have gloves there since this will be a buffet. We'll do the things that we need to do. So don't stay away because you'll be afraid of COVID. And I know that COVID is something we all need to be respectful of. But still, we need to be also have our fellowship together. And I think we can do both. I really believe we can do both. So be here for that, and let's have a good time in the Lord. I want to, again, congratulate the new deacons that we have on board, and Gary and Grant, and we thank you, and thank you for what you'll be doing for our church. And then at the same time, I want to thank McCord and David for your service and for what you all did for the last 3 years. I've enjoyed working with you for the last 3 years. It's been a good time working together, and so we thank you very much for that. And that's all the announcements I have at this time. Is anything I have forgotten? Anything you want? Anybody need to add anything? All right. Prayer request, and I had right at the top of the list Tony Eifert, but I see him back there, so he's doing fine. He's already told us this morning, and thank God he did. It wasn't a heart attack, Tony, and that you've got a little indigestion, right? I have that problem a lot. I really do myself. So, but anyway, that's no fun either. Trust me, I know that. Stacy, good to see you. I know you've been ailing some. It's good to have you with us this morning. Feeling better. The old spider bite, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious alive.
Antibiotics made me feel better.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We talked a little bit last night. I told her sometimes the cure is worse than the disease.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. And so I'm glad to have you back. We'll pray for Heath Hahn. I want to put him on the list today, talking to him. Heath is doing okay, but he still needs our prayers. And he needs our prayers. He and Kitty, I think, both need our prayers. Let's remember Harold Griffin. Harold Griffin had a stroke, and I don't know how many of you know Harold, but Harold is he's more in the Big Lick community, but Harold's all around Oakboro, and he knows about everybody there, and I think a lot of people know him. I want to lift him up in prayer. Evan, good to have you here this morning. I know you're still having some problems with the back and with your back and your legs, and we lift you up in prayer this morning. That's all I have that I know about. And McCord's good to have you. You're doing well. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Your prayers work. I appreciate all the concerns and calls and prayers of this church. And
amen.
God's done.
You know, amen.
I've still got a ways to go, but we're starting on the right track.
Yeah. I love the praise reports this morning. Okay. Anyone else?
I have one more quick. Y'all continue praying for Mama. She's doing good, but then she has about one or two bad days through the week, and then she gets really discouraged. So if y'all will just continue to pray for her. She did really well yesterday and today. And then I have a praise report. If those of you who follow me on Facebook know that when we went out to South Dakota this summer, we lived our own version of the Oregon Trail and had all kinds of issues that happened on our journey there and back. One of them being Robert lost, we blew a tire. He got out to check the tire, didn't realize he had his hearing aids in his lap. And he checked the tire. We were trying to get that taken care of, and only to realize about an hour later that his hearing aids were not with him, and they were in the middle of the interstate, run over. Well, whatever. But anyway, long story short, he went to a place in Albemarle, and they were able to fix them for $300, I think. Was that what it was? About $350 apiece. They replaced them. So he's got brand new hearing aids. And God is good, because that was about a $6,000 thing that we were going to have to come up with. So we just thank God for taking care of us and getting us back, and we didn't get dysentery, so we're good.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Hey, and Will, I want to say we're praying for you with your worker's permit. I appreciate what you had to say last Sunday. I know I kidded you a little bit. Probably shouldn't have kidded you quite as much. But anyhow, I want to say thank you for a young man like you willing to work and want to get out there and earn some money. God bless you, and I hope everything works out well for you.
Thank you so much,
Robert. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
You should take my name off. I'm doing much better.
Okay, yes, you are. I heard you talking back there. I think you're about ready to start singing. Anyone else? Anyone else this morning? Yes? Yeah, man. Billy Ford? Sure. Absolutely. Lionel?
Yes, I got a request this week from a lay team member, Dwayne Allman's wife, Sheila.
Sheila Adams, okay.
So a letter to the hospital that comes very weak.
Is that with COVID?
I don't think it's COVID. She's okay. Had health issues.
Okay. Sheila Adams. Okay. All right. Yes, Stace.
I apologize. I don't know her name, but it's Sam's boyfriend, Jared, his grandmother. She calls her Nana. Mm-hmm. So we'll call her Nana. She had a dog that she dearly loved, and she was playing with it yesterday. It got a ball lodged in its throat. She was trying to get it out, and it bit her hand pretty bad. She had had surgery. The dog passed away too. They're all really distraught. But anyway, pray for Nana and their family.
Okay. Sue Reed?
Reedy.
Reedy, okay.
Don't really know how to spell it, but Reedy, something.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Mayor.
Yes.
I got a text this week from Vivian Austin. She requested that we put Bradley Smith's name on there. Bradley Smith.
Bradley Smith, okay.
That's the father of one of their friends, and he's been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? I would say also we thank God for Traveling Mercy for our pastor back with us. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, we prayed hard for you. It's good to have you back. Mm-hmm. Believe me, it's good to have you back. I mean, seriously. And the same way with Pamela, I hope she's getting better with her problem too. She's still having a problem with the legs, I know. So we need to pray for Pam, keep lifting her up. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today as we come to you each and every Sunday morning with a list of needs that we have. But Lord, before I go over those needs that we have and list them specifically to you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've already done for us. Oh, as I listen to the praise reports across the room this morning, I'm so thankful. We're all so thankful that prayer changes things. Lord, we're thankful that you never sleep, that you never tire. You never get tired of us asking for things. And Lord, I don't believe you ever get tired of us thanking you either. And Lord, we do thank you. But then, Lord, there are those that we need to lift up this morning to you special. And as I pray this morning, I pray for Tony. Continue to pray for Tony Eford as he deals with the condition he's dealing with. We pray for him. We're so thankful that it was not a heart condition. Thank you for Stacy and her being here this morning. She's progressing very well and doing well. And McCord, the praise list, the praise report that he gave this morning, how encouraging it was and how uplifting it was to all of us. And thank you, Lord, for that. We pray for the Hans, Heath and Kitty. We pray for them as they're weaker, and we pray for their strength for them and patience. And we pray for them, Lord, that they will get stronger. And then Harold Griffin, Lord, as he has the stroke, we lift him up to you today and the family. We continue to pray for Eva Ann, Lord, and we lift her up next week as she goes back to the doctors, Lord, and we pray for her with her legs and her back. And Miss Nell, we continue to pray for her for strength and for patience and courage. We pray for her and thank you, Lord, for the caregivers that give her care each and every day. We pray for the family, Lord, who is acting as the caregiver. Pray for Kathy, Lord, as she is there quite a bit in Robert. And then, Lord, we ask this when we're talking about and praying for the family, we pray for Will. And Lord, as he will be going to work, Lord, and he's willing to work, and we pray for him, Lord, as he goes forward. We pray for the Billy Ford, for Billy Ford and the heart condition. We pray for Sheila Adams is in the hospital on a ventilator. We pray for Nana and her family, Lord, as she has suffered a loss of a dear friend and her dog, but Lord, as she's also had to have emergency surgery. We pray for Miss Nana and all her family. We pray for Sue Reading. We lift her up for you this morning, and Bradley Smith. And then, Lord, we pray now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we pray for our pastor as he comes and preaches to us today. We pray for Pam that she'll get better, Lord, and she get stronger and can be back with us again. We thank you for our choir. Is the place this morning. It's so good to see our choir in their place. And Lord, we pray for them. Lift us, lift our voices up that we may praise your holy name. And then these words, Lord, and these prayers and all the things I've said today, I just want to thank you. And all this prayer has been prayed in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I was going to sing a song this morning that it's very true. I think Ann has already spoke about it back there in the back this morning. Joy does come in the morning sometimes. The darkest hour before dawn, that's a proven fact. But sometimes when things look the worst, don't give up. Don't give up. Joy comes in the morning.
Oh,
It's good to be back. And somebody said it was a little long-winded last week, and so they were glad to have me back, so maybe it won't be. I don't know. you know, stand up, speak up, shut up. You know, I watch just and read just enough of the news to sort of keep up with what's going on. Because if you saturate your mind with all that's going on in the world today, the devil can use that to make you discouraged, downhearted, down in the mouth, fearful, and it's not healthy. Because he likes to paint all the worst case scenarios, and some of it looks bad, just from what little I look. But at the same time, I know that things can be different. 2,500 years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Daniel, and he described pretty much these last days in a prophecy. If you read a lot of what's in Daniel, you'll think, wow, that's right out of the newspaper. But in the middle of some things that Daniel was writing as the Holy Spirit inspired him, he gives a verse or a half of a verse that's very encouraging, very timely. And I think if you'll just allow the Holy Spirit to assimilate it in your mind and heart, will be a blessing to you. So let's turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 11. And of course, we'll look at a lot of scriptures before we're finished. Daniel, chapter 11. And the first half of verse 32 is really bad. So we're not even going to look, we're going to read that, but just to remind you. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Talking about the evil one in the last days against the things of God. But then look at the last half of that verse. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. People that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They accomplish marvelous things. Now that ought to be encouraging to us. The truth is, it's possible to be strong and victorious and be a blessing and be blessed right in the middle of chaos. Right in the middle of trouble, it's possible for you to stand strong. It's possible for you to be victorious. It's possible for you to do some great things for the Lord. Now, who are these people? It says people that know their God. Now, it's possible to know about somebody and not know them. I'm sure you're aware that there are scholars that maybe have picked out some famous person of the past, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, or someone like that, and they've read everything that's ever been written about George Washington. They've studied everything they can about George Washington's life. Maybe they've been up to Mount Vernon and surveyed the house and the grounds, and they've read his presidential papers and all about it. But since they don't have a time machine, they don't know George Washington. They know all about George Washington, but they don't know George Washington. They've never personally fellowshipped with him, encountered him, learned the way he thought, touched him. They don't really know him. It's possible to know about somebody. Now, you think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day of Jesus. I mean, they knew the Word of God. I don't know whether this is true or not, but I've read that some of those guys were so learned that, you know, they had the scrolls where they wrapped everything, the scriptures, in a scroll, that they could take a knife and stick it there and it opened it up and see the word that the knife went through, and they could tell you every word it went through all the way through the scroll. That means they knew. They knew the Word of God, but they didn't recognize Jesus when he stood in their midst. I mean, can you imagine? They supposedly knew all about God, but face to face with God, they didn't understand. Face to face with the one that was, they knew all the prophecies, but face to face with the one that was fulfilling all the prophecies, they didn't get it. And there are church folks that know about God, maybe even are saved, but don't really know God. Don't really know the heart of God. And you see, Daniel says, they that know their God will do exploits. Let's look at some biblical examples to just give you an idea of what we're talking about. Now, the first of these is Moses. Think about Moses. Ten Commandments. Think about Moses. He brought the ten plagues on Egypt, led them through the Red Sea, brought water from a rock. But most amazing about Moses is that he spent almost 40 years with a rebellious, hard-hearted, knuckle-headed bunch, and he didn't quit. I can't imagine sometimes Moses just didn't sneak away in the middle of the night, go back to keeping sheep, and say, just leave that bunch to themselves. Moses, in the middle of difficulty, stayed strong and did miraculous things. Did Moses know his God? Well, let's look at Exodus chapter 3. We'll just start reading in verse 1 of Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the midst, in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now let's go over to verse 13 of that same chapter. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and they shall say unto them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He that said, thou shalt say unto them, the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. Now go over to Exodus chapter 34. And verses 29, verse 29 of Exodus 34. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not or knew not that the skin of his face shone while he walked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Now flip back one chapter to Exodus 33, verse 8. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. All the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. There's a man that knew his God. There's a man that knew his God. And because of that, Moses could be strong. And remember, Moses was no kid. He was 80 years old when the Lord called him to this ministry. From 80 to 120. Now, I hope I'm still preaching at 120, but it's not the usual practice. The church we went to Sunday morning last week, they were having a service Sunday night, and the guy who was going to preach was 92. And some other guy was going to sing or give a testimony or something, he was 90. I'm thinking, wow. And the guy just that was 92 had just now given up his pastorate, but he was still preaching. Here's a guy that knew God. And because he knew God, he was strong and he did exploits. Well, think about Joshua. Now, you remember Joshua was one of the 12 spies. Before they got to the promised land, you remember Joshua led the armies. And he led the armies. Remember when Moses had to go up on the mountain and hold his arms up, and Joshua was victorious, and Moses got tired, and Aaron and Hur had to help hold his arms up. Joshua was the one that led the children of Israel into the promised land. He replaced Moses. He led them to victory as they conquered the various cities and areas and divided the people out for a number of years. Joshua was a man that was strong and did exploits. Did he know his God? Let's look at the same verse that we just looked. Exodus 33:11. The Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Isn't that amazing? Joshua says, I can't get enough of the presence of the Lord. I know, Moses, you've got to go take care of business, but I'm going to spend some more time with the Lord. You see, Joshua wasn't just satisfied to get a secondhand revelation from Moses. Now, it's wonderful if I say something or your Sunday school teacher says something that is a blessing to you. But you need your own time with the Lord and your own revelation from the Lord, your own encounter with the Lord, so that your own experience with the Lord is not secondhand. And you see, Joshua was not just satisfied, and it says he stayed behind so that he could know his God. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Again, he's talking about, said, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the middle of Israel, even to the children of Israel. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. And he goes on, and he says, be strong and be courageous. Joshua knew God. Joshua didn't just know about God. Joshua knew God, and he was strong and did exploits. Think about it in the New Testament. Think about the old Apostle Peter. He walked on water. Anybody done that lately? I've heard of some people that have done it. But I haven't. Peter preached that amazing sermon on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved. Peter raised the dead. There's some instances in the book of Acts where Peter actually raised the dead. Peter, the presence of the Lord was so strong in Peter's life that when they knew that Peter was going to come down the road, they calculated which way the sun was shining, and they went and laid their sick so that the shadow of Peter would fall on them, and it says they all got healed. Peter was a man that was strong and did exploits. I mean, you've got to be strong to lay in prison, knowing that in the morning they're going to kill you, and be so sound asleep that the angels got to shake you to wake you up. I mean, you think about it. I'd probably be sitting there, oh man, I got 5 hours till I die. 4 hours and 59 minutes till I die. 4 hours and 58 minutes till I die. You know? Peter's so sound asleep, the angel says, come on, wake up, boy. And got him out of there. Now that's strong. What did Peter know is God? Look into Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Peter was one of that inner circle that knew so much about the Lord. What about Paul? He started churches, wrote about half the New Testament, endured all kinds of imprisonments, beatings, stonings, came back to life after they stoned him and left him for dead. Did Paul know God? Look in Acts 9. Verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said unto thee, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, rise, go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul knew his God. And we could go on and talk about John, James, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. There's glory there. I saw the seraphim. So many of them, they lived in difficult times. They lived in troublesome times. Jeremiah, you know, the city was surrounded. The enemy was about to take the city. They lived in all kinds of horrible, horrible situations. And yet they were men who were strong and did marvelous exploits. It's not the condition of the world. It's do we know our God? Do we know our God? They were willing to pay the price to know God. They were willing to pay the price. Now, the Bible tells us that God's not a respecter of persons. So that means anything Paul, the same God that's available to Paul or Peter or Daniel or Moses, is the same God that's available to you. Now, we all live in different eras of history. We have different spiritual gifts. We have different cultures. But at the same time, the same God that made Paul strong or Peter strong can make you strong. The same God that worked with them and through them to accomplish marvelous things can work with you and in you and through you to do the same thing. It wouldn't be fair if God says, well, I choose to bless this guy, but this old guy over here, he's just tough. You know, if this guy over here will pay the same price as this guy over here, he can have the same blessing. Now, that's a price to pay in study, knowing the Word of God, spending time with the Lord, really coming to know and experience the presence of God. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him. And folks, we in America need to get it. Now, as you know, we didn't get all the way to Oklahoma, but we have been able to look at on live streaming at some of the services that we missed from the missions conference. And one of them, there's a young man and his wife. I guess him to be 35. I mean, he looks young. He's looked young as long as I've known. He's one of those people that perpetually looks young. And originally he was there in the church, and then he and his wife went to Brazil as missionaries. Now they're in France as missionaries. And in the service in which was on our, we saw on the screen, he was telling about he had a dream. He dreamed that he was back in the United States and he was in a prayer meeting. And he and his friend, he and his wife, were on their knees. They were intensely pouring out their hearts to the Lord in prayer for revival in America. And when the time of prayer was over and he opened his eyes, all the Americans had a pillow, a blanket, and a mattress and were sound asleep. And God says, wake up, America. If we think we're going to have church like we had in the 50s and we're going to just float through in this this time of history, we're sadly mistaken. We're going to have men and women that are strong and do exploits in the power of God because we know God, not because we know about God. Now, if some of us here aren't kids anymore, and if we say, if we're sitting there thinking, I hope them young whippersnappers get this. I'm too old. I got a Bible word for you, baloney. I have this preacher friend, he's in his early 80s. Because of health issues, in the last 6 months, his daughters have moved him into some type of a facility, assisted living, nursing home, or some place like that. But he's still pretty good. And the very first week he was there, He met a man that he led to the Lord 60 years ago. And of course, they hit it right off. And they got to talking about what was going on in that assisted living facility. And I was talking with John about it, and I said, John, why don't you just go and have a revival? You still left to preach? He texted me back later, says, that's a great idea. And they have one scheduled. Now, COVID has delayed it. But I was talking to him this week, and he said, they have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and it must be a pretty good prayer meeting. And he said, it's just where whatever room they're using is right beside of where the mailboxes are for the facility. And not this past Wednesday night, but the Wednesday night before, that there was a guy standing there at the mailboxes when they got ready for prayer meeting. They encouraged him to come in. Said he was pretty reluctant, but he came in. John said before the meeting was over, he got saved. Now here's a man up in years, lived all of his life without Jesus, but John and those in that prayer meeting led him to the Lord. And then John says earlier this week, he saw him and he said his whole countenance had changed. It was genuine. And then John told me, now the man's in the hospital. Now I don't know what condition. John didn't go into that. And then John went on to tell me, and the connection started breaking up, so I don't know exactly what this was all about, but something about counseling some woman whose husband had just died. Here's a man in his 80s, and he's got physical issues. In fact, he's waiting a CT scan this week. But he's still winning people to Jesus. Folks, you don't age out from serving the Lord. There's no place in the Bible where it says when you get to be a certain age, you retire from serving the Lord. The only time you retire is when you go to glory, and then you serve him by just saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory. The people that know their God, it says, do exploits and are strong. My encouragement to each of us is to develop more and more your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and draw you into fellowship. What did it say about Moses? The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. May we have such a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that it's just like we're talking to him one-on-one, face-to-face, hearing his heart, sharing our heart. And in the power of that conversation, touching our world. This isn't for some elite. It's for those who know their God. Now, only the Lord would know this, but I imagine if there was some kind of rating system, everybody in this room would be at a different level in our knowledge and our relationship with the Lord. Now, the point is not where you are right now, but where are you going to be next week? And the next week? When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about sitting around the table yesterday while we were, before we started Bible school. And, you know, I've been here a little over 4 years, so I know some of you guys pretty good. But that crowd sitting around the table, I mean, Leonard and Jeff and David and all, hey, I don't begin to know you like you know you. How'd you get that way? You spent a lot of time together. You got a lot of memories. You got a lot of stories. So it is with you and your Lord. Isn't it interesting, the disciples, when you look, there was a big group because they followed Jesus from the beginning. Because when they remember in Acts, when they picked out an extra disciple to replace Judas, they said, we're going to pick out somebody that's been in the group forever. And how many was in that group? I don't know. There were men and women in that group. But then there were 12 that were the special ones. And then there were the three, Peter, James, and John. And then there was John, the disciple that Jesus loved. You can be the disciple that Jesus loved today. Those that know their God can be strong and do exploits. The world may be blowing up around you, but it doesn't matter when you know your God. Because based upon your relationship with Him, some glorious, wonderful things can happen in you, for you, and through you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? Is there anybody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you would, just come on down. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm one of those American Christians that's curled up with my mattress, my blanket, and my pillow, and I've been asleep. Would you confess that as a sin and make a commitment to serve the Lord? To really get to know Him. No matter where you are, would you make a commitment? Lord, I want to know you better. Lord, I know some things about you and I know you, but Lord, I'm not satisfied. Would you not be satisfied? It's not a question of where the world around us is going squirrely. The question is how strong we're going to be. And what kind of life we're going to live. Is it going to be a life of defeat or a life of victory? If there's any decision you need to make, would you make it right now? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the assurance that in a messed up world, in a world that precedes their second coming, we can be strong and do exploits. Thank you, Father, that it's not our strength, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Thank you, Father, that you want to know us and us to know you more desperately than we want to know it ourselves. Lord, draw near to us as we draw near to you. And Lord, thank you for the victory through Jesus. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace in Jesus' name.